and welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And before we get to this week's album, it's that time of year again, Spotify Wrapped. The most wonderful time of the year, just to complete that reference.
It is.
Do we want to start with songs or artists?
We can start with artists.
Okay, my number one artist, St. Vincent, of course.
Mine is, of course, Chesky. His album, This Guitar Was Stolen, is pretty much all of my top five songs.
Nice. My number two, this is where it gets interesting. John H. Mulaney. Yes, I am my own number two artist on Spotify. That was a goal of mine. Just to make the list, I have no problem coming second to Annie. But, you know, I legitimately like listening to my own music. So, you know, I'm not surprised or, you know, freaked out by that.
My number two is Metric. The album they put out this year, Doom Scroller, or oh, Frontera, is Formentera, I'm sorry. Starts out with a very surprising track called Doom Scroller, which is like this 11-minute kind of epic. It just nobody saw coming.
My number three, the Lunda Lundas. That came out last April. I was obsessed with it for a good chunk of the summer.
My number three is Arcade Fire. We is a really strange album of just like, you know, a lot of different multi-part suites. Also, Peter Gabriel guests on it. My favorite is actually a song called Sagittarius 8, where it's just about pretty much everybody just checking out of society at the same time. We unsubscribe.
Number four, I have Bob Mould. I've, you know, listened to his music off and on over the years, but this was the year I really kind of got hooked on him. So I, you know, listened to mostly Silver Age, but mostly in the songs list, I did vary from that a little.
My fourth is LP. I've been listening to him more than I've been listening to Run the Jewels, actually. Fantastic Damage, actually, going back to like one of his first, where I think I started listening to it, and then I brought it back when I realized, wait, he actually samples and name checks Emerson, Lake, and Palmer on it.
Oh, nice. And here's where we get to one of these things is not like the other, because you could argue that my stuff is alternative, so kind of fits in with the others.
Yeah.
But my number five, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Before the release of her latest album, like a month ago, I really didn't listen to her. I got hooked when that album came out, so I've been listening to that quite a bit. I had no idea it would weigh that heavily, you know, the last month would weigh that heavily on Wrapped.
Well, it really doesn't, though. That's what's strange about it, because, like I said, I think they cut it off at the end of October.
I think so, too. And it wasn't, like, we reviewed it, like, what, 3 weeks ago? And that was a week and change after it came out. So it's surprising that it weighed heavily enough that she made it into my top artists.
Like, if it had more of November in it, Open Mike Eagle would definitely be on this list. His latest is just fucking one of the best albums this year. My favorite song, probably, called Circuit City.
And on to songs. Number one.
My number five is Serengeti.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Last year's number one. He didn't put out much this year, but there was a song called The Veil Gets Lifted where he samples something from The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway.
Nice.
It's very subtle, though. And if you've heard the album a million times, you pick it up like, wait, what is that?
So it's something you have to be a Genesis fan to really
notice.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. So that's just the way, like, sampling should be done.
It's some very subtle, you know, ambient, you know, Hackett and Banks, you know, work. I think it's before Cocoon. It's like middle of the two-track kind of thing.
I only really know the title track.
Yeah.
Now into songs. My number one, Regret, St. Vincent.
Regret. Which one's that off of?
Self-title. My top two are both off self-title.
Okay. Because I have some St. Vincent on my list, but it's from Nowhere In, which I was listening to a lot over like November, December of last year, actually. I remember I was surprised at last year's that Nowhere In wasn't on my list at all, and it's because I listened after the cutoff.
I'm still not sure if I want to count that as an album. Like when I list her, my favorite albums of hers, because there's only a few like full songs on it.
Yeah, it's a really great, like, ambient kind of
Yeah,
thing.
yeah.
It really is cool to just have and let go, you know, for the background.
But self-titled, I listen to pretty much on a weekly basis. It's not just my favorite of hers, it's probably my favorite album of all time. It's just brilliant. What's
Yeah.
your number one?
Well, you know, I've been mentioning some of them, but this is they're all from Chesky's This Guitar Is
All of your
Stolen.
top five?
Yeah,
Oh,
'cause
wow.
I'm an album listener, and if
Yeah,
I
yeah.
listen to the album, you know, all it takes all the songs from the album.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, number one, and consider it a win. It should actually have produced some more commercial, you know, success for him, but I guess it just needs someone to take it for like a soundtrack or an ad or something to get it out there, because it is really interesting to pick off.
My number two, Huey Newton, also St. Vincent, also self-titled. Like I said, I listened to that album ad nauseum.
My number two is called 2020 BC, and it's kind of an epic, but it's just like him ranting at an acoustic guitar, and yeah, he really just delivers this vocal performance that's just a knockout. It's pretty much why I got hooked on him in the first place. He was performing just with an acoustic guitar, and you're just kind of like, wait, what's going on here? And he just gives this raw emotional reaction to what's going on in the world at 2020.
My number three, Sunshine Rock by Bob Mould. Off the album of the same name, it's the deviation from Silver Age, which is the one I tend to listen to way too much.
And I'm going to skip ahead. You know, there's you know, to get some other things in there.
It's not all Chesky.
I mentioned The Veil Gets Lifted. I started listening to a lot of King Crimson actually after we reviewed, and not the album we reviewed. Poseidon, The Devil's Triangle is another epic, and it's just this. It's very Piper at the Gates of Dawn. And it goes in one direction, and then all of a sudden, they do this thing where if you're listening to it with like the right headphones and the right bass and the right level, it just sounds like this Leviathan rising up out of the sea.
Nice.
And then they continue with this frantic pace of the melody that they started the piece. Fucking incredible.
My number four, The Glutton of Sympathy by Jellyfish. Now, when we reviewed Spilt Milk, this was my pick for weakest, but it has significantly grown on me, obviously.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like the chorus initially, but over multiple listens, it's become one of my favorites on the album.
Next, I'll skip down the
Yeah.
list a bit. Wet Legs, Being in Love.
Oh, nice. I'm kind of disappointed that I didn't have any Wet Leg on my list. Well, they're probably on my longer list. They're definitely
It's
on my longer
further
list.
down, and it probably will come up again next year, I'm sure. It's probably not my favorite song off the album. I still stand by Your Mom.
Same. I'm a little disappointed they didn't make my top five artists, but I guess the album came out too late.
Yeah.
And my number five, Love Rears Its Ugly Head by Living Colour, a classic.
Yeah, I was surprised that made your list.
It's probably my favorite on Time's Up.
And then I'll just mention there's another one. Well, actually, yeah, I do have 79th and Stony Island, but I mentioned Open Mike Eagle already and the best song off that one. I listened to a lot of Childish Gambino this year as well. The only problem is you can't really, it's hard to tell because this is the album where he's got, you know what, I'll go with Algorithm. The rest of the album, it's all just like times. Like the length of it, and then just
That's the
kind of,
title is the running time.
yes.
Nice.
But yeah, it's some great progressive rap, and he's a guy I probably should get back to listening to some more of.
And that's it for Spotify Wrapped. On to this week's album, which is from 2016, Anarchitecture by Skunk and Nancy. Skunk and Nancy are a British rock band who formed in 1994, disbanded in 2001, and reformed in 2009. Their name is taken from a con folk tales of Anansi, the Spider-Man of Ghana, with skunk added to quote-unquote make the name nastier. Anarchitecture is the band's sixth studio album. It was released on January 15th, 2016, by Ear Music and Carosello Records, produced by Tom Dalgetty, and features Deborah Skin Dyer on vocals, Martin Ace Kent on guitar, Richard Cass Lewis on bass guitar and keyboards, and Mark Richardson on drums and percussion, with additional musician Pete Davis on keyboards and programming. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our reviews for copy reasons, but on our blog at johnandscotto.com, you'll find links to Anarchitecture, and I'm glad that's the last time I have to say that name, because it is tough to say, on Spotify and YouTube, so you can follow along if you'd like. Track one, Love Someone Else. Got a good groove, I like the insistent kick, great guitar tone, I love Skin's voice.
Yes.
Like how the riff develops into the chorus and into the second verse. The pre-chorus reminds me a lot of Can't Get You Out of My Head by Kylie Minogue.
I was thinking Scissor Sisters, like a heavier version of them.
Mm.
I do like her voice, though. That is a good takeaway from this whole album.
Pretty much the takeaway of the album.
I wasn't sure whether I was going to be into this song or not, but it did grow on me.
Mm. Track two, Victim. Again, great groove. Love the higher end of her voice in this one. Like how they use the guitar on a lot of these songs as a texture. It's not just the big, you know, club hitting you in the face. I mean, they do that here and there, but it's very, very textural for most of the album. Love how heavy this one gets in the middle. The band really just exists to show off Skin's voice.
It's a nice creepy guitar, like a softer Muse kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think it's too soon to do a ballad on this, you know?
Oh, I wouldn't call this one a ballad. The ballad's comes up in a couple of songs for me.
They kind of build it, and it feels like, I'm not sure if the payoff is really worth, you know, the repetitive trip to get there.
Yeah, the song should have gotten monotonous for me, but her voice saves it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she hits some cool notes at the end. It feels like this one should have been shorter, though.
Track three, Beauty Is Your Curse. Great opening riff. Love the vocal melody. Her voice really soars in this one. There's some great harmonies in the chorus. Love how present the bass is. There's a nice build in the bridge. And the guitar effects at the end are really fun.
It's like old school heart. It's a high compliment when you're bringing up the Wilson sisters. But it's there, definitely. Uh-huh.
Track four, Death to the Lovers. For me, this is the first of the ballads. Nice mix of electronic and acoustic percussion. Love the melody. Great bass tone.
Yeah, just too many valleys for my taste. Yeah, mm-hmm. I understand the concept of peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
But, I mean, of course, again, the voice. Now she's doing like an Annie Lennox. Mm-hmm.
She does remind me a lot of Annie Lennox throughout the album.
I don't think I picked this for weakest, though.
Yeah, I didn't pick the ballad. I initially did, but then track five?
Yeah.
In the Back Room, this is my pick for weakest. The guitar part is very Edge of 17. I do like the walking bass line. I like the groove once the kick comes in, but it's just really repetitive.
I have a Stevie Nicks Gonna Sue.
Yeah.
It's a cool bass line, but nothing really happens here.
No. Much like Edge of 17, it's just that one guitar part over and over and over again.
Reminds me a bit of Franz Ferdinand, but it's just not as splashy, which is kind of like a...
Yeah, exactly. Track six, Bullets. Like the distorted bass, like the call and response it does with the vocal. Love the explosive chorus and that little melodic bass bit in the bridge and this sort of sputtering ending.
It's this weird combination of like White Stripes meets Foreigner. It's like like what is going on here? It's the White Stripes doing like Jukebox Hero or something, but it's unusual enough to draw me in, that's for sure.
Track seven, That Sinking Feeling. This is my pick for favorite. It's got a nice
same here
punk groove. I like the riff. It feels a bit Bob Mould. Great harmonies in the chorus. Love how the drums pick up in verse two.
Yeah, I'm thinking yeah's heart. It's some really good stuff. The dynamics of it, that drive with the mix of loud and soft, or the production even, it just really sets this off, and it's easily the strongest on this album.
Track eight, Without You, another ballad. I kind of like that there's more than one ballad because you get a lot of rock albums with the ballad.
Oh
You know,
no.
they spread it out a bit, peaks and valleys. It adds some nice contrast.
I call it Metallica syndrome.
It's got a nice build in the
No.
chorus. I like the bass in the second verse, and the guitar part in the bridge.
It feels like it's a bit more ambitious than the other ballads. It's like not a straight up ballad or a rocker. There's some give or take, I feel. And she hits some really nice notes towards the end of this one too.
Track nine, Suckers, great groove, great heavy riff, and that's it. It's just this riff over and over again with some slight textural changes.
I missed this on the first listen. I was like, wait, there was another track here.
It's more useless than the soundscape on the Grizzly Bear album.
Right, it's kind of a snippet of a Rage Against the Machine song.
Yeah.
It's I don't know,
I mean,
like
it's
they
a cool
could have done
riff.
something with that.
I just wish they'd built a song around it.
Same here. I mistook it for the intro to the next track,
Same.
I think, when I because I wasn't paying attention to what
Yeah.
track it was on, and I think I was like, wait, that other track happened and we're in the middle of this now.
Yeah, I'm thinking, okay, it's a good riff, but it's going on a bit long. And then I look at the timeline and we're halfway through it. I'm like, wait, what? Track 10, We Are the Flames. I see this as the climax of the album.
Yes, easily.
It's got a great opening riff. I really like the vocal melody. I like those random sort of clicky sound effects in the chorus.
I call them electronic chirps.
Like how her voice really opens up in verse 2 and the kind of trippy bridge.
It's like this electro punk. I'm not sure about the chorus, if she sells it enough, honestly, but I mean, it's still a good song, I think.
And finally, track 11, I'll Let You Down, the denouement, the final
Yes.
ballad. I like the slightly detuned synth sound. It's got a nice acoustic tone, acoustic guitar tone. I like the soft vocal. It's different from what we've heard so far.
It's her best vocal, I would say, on the album.
And I think it's just a nice choice for a closer.
Yes, it's an outro piece and it really works. I think that means that Death to the Lovers was my pick for weakest.
And do you recommend it?
I would not. It'd be interesting to hear some of their older stuff, but this one just no, it's kind of apparent that it's a 20-year on album kind of thing, and they just don't have it whatever they used to have.
I was on the fence with this one, but I think for me, Skin's voice does push it over the line, so I'm giving it a tentative recommendation. If you've never heard them before, it's maybe worth checking out.
Yeah, I think I'd like to dig into that older stuff, that 90s stuff.
And that's it for, oh God, I gotta say it again, Anarchitecture. Until next time, we'll be reviewing Rumours by Fleetwood Mac, a last-minute substitution for a tribute episode to the late great Christine McVie. It'll be interesting. I don't think either of us would have ever chosen to do this album otherwise.
Not really, but what makes it interesting is, aren't we planning on doing Dark Side of the Moon to start next year?
Okay, yeah, I think so.
So it's like the two biggest albums of the 1970s, of course, outside of the Bee Gees, and
Was it 70s or early 80s? I'm not sure. It might have been like 80, 81. Rumors.
I thought it was 70s.
Okay, we'll see. Didn't look it up yet, so we'll see. But it is their, iconic album. I do like a handful of songs from it. So, if we're.
77.
Oh, okay. If we're gonna do a Fleetwood Mac album, it had to be this one.
Yeah.
So at least if we're gonna do one that Christine McVie played on, because I'd love to get into
Right.
some of the Peter Green stuff. Anyway, until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.